Greetings again, brothers and sisters. On day three, we have still this subject. We're on choices and consequences, and I want to continue with that. So we pray, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, may you guide us through this day. Lay your blessings upon us. Lay your blessings upon your word. Everything that's done and said in your name. We pray. Amen. So from the day one, we were reminded about the actions of previous generation can follow through the family line. And the scripture we saw, it shows us a pattern. And that spiritual consequences can go through descendants. But and here you are calling. It's your challenge, your responsibility. You to break the curse. That's really our challenge for the day, and the situation, circumstance we are living in. But there's also burdens we can bring upon ourselves by the choices we make. And of course, like we talked about yesterday, if you choose Jesus, you will face opposition. If you raise up a standard and stand for truth, and then you declare that everything contrary to this truth is a lie, and then you must expect resistance. There is a children's song. I translated it to English. I don't know if you heard it before, but in Norwegian we have this as a children song, but it's really, the words are important and strong. It goes like this: when Jesus comes and knocks upon our hearts and asks if he may enter in, I smile and said, yes, you are welcome. Come in into my heart and within. But when a tempter comes and knocks upon my heart and asks if he may enter in, I firmly said, no, you cannot come, for Jesus is living within. And that's really simple as it sounds. That's what it's all about. When he comes knocking at the door of your heart, everything changes. And we have a scripture in Matthew 12:43. And Jesus is talking here about an unclean spirit. That it will attempt to return to the house it has left. Because if it finds the house empty, swept and put in order, also not filled, he will bring seven other more wicked than itself, and fill the house, fill you again, and it will be, the result is worse than the beginning. And this is why we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe if you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no demon that can possess you. You are God's. But yet there, you have to see the difference between possession and oppression or torment. Because we have battles against not flesh and blood, but spiritual forces. That's the scripture, and it can come in many ways. And you know, the devil, he knows us, and he will try his best to find our weaknesses. Sorry, demons, they are just fallen angels, and they seek to influence and to gain access. But be sure Jesus has overcome. And when he has filled you, you are his and you are safe. I was thinking about, do you know this story about Brother Branham when he was standing preaching? You have this angry man coming into the church, and he wanted to attack Brother Branham while he was standing up there preaching. And Brother Branham just spoke to him that he wouldn't succeed. And he was really filled with a bad spirit of hate. And what happened was before he was able to attack Brother Branham, he just fell, and he was ended up laying over his feet, and there were people coming and just carried him out. And he was asked afterwards, is the man healed now? And Brother Branham said no, because he still believes that he has right. He is right. So we need repentance, because Christ, he is the victor. And in John 12, it is written, now is the judgment of this world. It's John 12, 31. The ruler of this world is cast out. And Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. And in Luke 22, 31, Jesus warns Peter that Satan demanded to shift the disciples like wheat. He said that to Peter, but Jesus said he prayed for you. I have prayed for you, and when you return, strengthen your brothers. So it leads to this question, how can Satan claim any rights over us? And I believe it is, there is no neutrality. You are either aligned with Christ or you are not. So there's no neutral ground. There's two sides. And when truth is preached, heart will respond. But not like all doesn't respond in the same way. Some feel conviction, some resist with hardness. And the scripture says they were cut to the heart. And yet their reactions differ. You remember when Peter was standing on the Pentecostal day, the people were cut to their heart, but you know that there were two different ways they reacted. But also Jesus says in Mark 9:38, that one who is not against us is for us. So the same is written in Matthew 10:40 also. It's John who's talking to Jesus here and said, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, do not forbid him. For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. And that's really important to remember. We can go to 1 Peter 1, and it's about our inheritance. 1 Peter 1:17-19. We are redeemed not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, from the empty ways of life we inherited from our ancestors. So without Christ, that inheritance is dead and it's without life. Because you have religion that can appear as godly, on the outside. Matthew 23:29, Jesus rebukes the religious leaders who honored the prophets' tombs, yet they lived in the spirits of those who killed the prophets. They had the same attitudes. And he warns, they give the appearance of standing with God, yet replace God's truth with religious imitation. And you know where this inheritance comes from. We see it in the scripture. Brother Branham had a, he was planning to preach a sermon. I don't know if he was able to do it, but he wanted to call it the trail of the serpent. And really that's, I think it's our inheritance. You see it in the line of Cain, Ham and Canaan, Nimrod, Babylon. It's a religious spirit appealing to emotion but opposing God. And it has to run parallel to God's people since Babylon, since the Tower of Babel. But God's people has always been called to destroy their idols. And then, but I'm still talking about his consequences of things we bring into our lives. And we have a responsibility there. I remember we have a sister. She lives in Sweden, but she's really, she comes from Iran or Afghanistan. And she came to the West. She moved over here. And she started to produce. She was like an artist. She had art, sculptures and paintings. And she produced art against Islam. And, you know, she was really full of anger and hate towards Islam because of the bondage and everything she was in there. But she told that, like, the art, it became like children to her. And she started to experience unrest and spiritual attacks. And she felt like the sculptures were, like, raising an army against her. And then she received Christ into her life, just to make this story a little shorter, because what she felt she had to do was to destroy it. So she destroyed them because they were tormenting her, and she burned them, and she testified that she could, like, she could hear the screams of the demons when she destroyed it. And really, this is a picture of what happens when idols are confronted and destroyed. And I have to say this, I don't believe that demons can live inside dead things, but it's with our motivation and attitude we can entertain those spirits enough to torment us. And the action that the sister did, that action spoke clearly when she raised up this standard against this hateful attitude. And then the demons had to flee. So in this way, it's our personal responsibility to be delivered, to say goodbye and get rid of things that are holding on to our lives. That's not good. Because faith, it comes by hearing the word. And you know, a preacher, he can preach, teach, and he can show the truth and light. But each person must personally, you know, remove the idols in their life. And we can pray, Lord, take away what does not belong in my life. And yes, he can remove addictions, desires, and destructive habits. But then you have to stay on course. And if you return to them afterwards, like we started it, the battle can be much worse. Because in Ephesians also, we have this Ephesians 4, we have what we call the fivefold ministry for 11. God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints to build up the body and bring maturity. So we no longer should be tossed by every wind of doctrine. So God equips his church so it can resist deception. And he sent the spirit of Elijah in this hour to clean out Jezebel and Baal. But is it gone? Is it cleaned out? Is Babylon gone? Oh, the spirit of Babylon still calls for compromise. So we know there is still work to be done. And what we can do is keep, our body is like a temple. We can keep it pure. We are God's temple. And the old temple of idols is gone, torn down and buried. And you are the temple of the Lord, the new temple. The incense rises. It's a picture of our prayers. And on the altar, sacrifices are offered. It's our obedience, our surrender. So do not let Satan make a claim on you through disobedience, because the fruit of that is destruction and not peace anyway. But the fruit of a spirit-filled life is freedom, purity, and victory. So keep the temple clean and keep the house filled. And I had this illustration. If you take a cup of water, a glass of water, you can see, and it's filled with dirt and sand. And you can try to clean it out by taking your hand or getting all the filter things up there and out from the glass. But the easiest way to clean that glass is to just continue to fill more water till it overflows, and then all the bad stuff, the filth and everything, it will just disappear. It will clean out from the cup. And we can see in Ephesians 5 also here, it's about sanctify and cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word. So God's word is the washing of the water. So if we fill us with the word of God, that's the most important things, and we can live by the word, and the spirit and the word can go hand in hand, and we can be a shining light for him. That's our prayer. So that's my thoughts today. So may the Lord bless you. Amen.